I would say our goal right now, can't commit to this, but our goal would be to have something finalized and in front of council in April for the pickleball court.
There you go. You heard David talking about this just a moment ago, but yesterday during his press conference, Mayor D.C. Reeves says pickleballs are coming. It's a done deal. Let me, at the port, they're going to build the building or refurbish the building so that it's going to be an athletics facility that's going to have, you know, sort of good seating and a variety of potential court uses. But we all know that the Borg of pickleball, we like to go play tennis at PSC at the courts there. And they got those all striped for, I think they're all, maybe one's not. But anyway, numerous of them are striped for pickleball now, too. Which, just as a tennis player, I'm telling you, is a little bit annoying because, you know, it's a different line you've got to pay attention to. But this is common in sporting. You know, your volleyball court is a badminton court, is a, you know, basketball court. I mean, it's, you know, not all that rare. But still, it's everywhere, man. This pickleball thing is everywhere. It's crazy. But yeah, so that's coming to the port, theoretically. He says coming in April, they're going to get it. Hopefully, if they can get it done, they'll get it on the April meeting for the Pensacola City Council. But I will say this. Okay, I will say this, and I don't mean to be the downer in the room, but I will mention the fact that sometimes you think you've got a thing, and then that thing doesn't work out. I know in the entire history of Pensacola, that's never happened. But, you know, every once in a while, we think we've got a thing, we think we got it done, and then somehow or other, it doesn't work out. Also heard in the same press conference yesterday.
So we notified Streamline that March 16th, they were required to have a CO for the bill as part of their lease. And of course, that hasn't happened. So
certificate of occupancy, by the way.
So we've notified them that we'd be terminating that. At this point, you know, Warehouse 10 has no tenant. So we let them know per their lease, on March 16th. So that's where we're at.
So you remember the Streamline Boats deal where you've got this company from, is it Hialeah? I think that's right. Anyway, from way down south. And I remember a couple of years ago when this first started that this company was going to come here and build these high-end boats, you know, these really, really nice boats at the port. And I actually called them because there was some controversy in the city council. And I called down there and I'm like, hey, you guys want to just come on the air and talk about this project? Because that's what I do. I always like to offer people a chance to explain their stuff. And they're like, we're just going to wait a little bit, you know. And I was like, okay, fine, you know, because they didn't want to step into some drama or something. And, you know, which I understand, whatever. So then we had all the yelling about what was going to happen at the facility and are they going to be poisoning us all because of the chemicals that they use on the boats? It's always something, right? And what I basically said at the time was, God, I hope this deal works out because this is pretty good for jobs and for the port and for everything else. And it did work out. And Streamline Boats was coming and they were going to be coming right away. And then they were going to still be coming right away and they were still going to be coming right. And they were still going to, and then there was a little bit of a, well, we think they're coming. You know, and well, it looks like they might not be coming. And now they're not coming. Right? So all I'm saying is, you know, like Charlie Brown of the football, it's fine to be excited about the pending development of the unused warehouse space on the port for pickleball and other sports. It is also a rational thing to say when they're playing pickleball in the facility, then we'll really celebrate because sometimes we get prematurely enthusiastic about the doneness of a deal and then it doesn't ever come to pass. Just saying. Okay. Again, I do not want to be the negative Nancy in the room. And I don't know what Nancy has to do with it, but you know, she's always negative about stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy.
Meanwhile, did you see the other thing that happened yesterday during the press conference? We got this note midday yesterday that we have not one, but two contests going on in the city of Pensacola now.
And then the second thing I'm excited about that we're having fun with is we have got three new, relatively new, I'd say in the last year, street sweepers, and we're going to do a naming contest for the three. So it's something that a lot of communities are doing and embracing. You know, we see how creative our citizens are, and I'm sure for better or worse, we'll have a lot of creativity on what these street sweepers are going to be named. So the deadline for submissions on that is April 14th at 5 p.m. and we're kicking that contest off today.
Yes. So you can submit names for the three.
Sweepy McSweepface.
That's right. Three street sweepers. They're going to name all three of them. And you can submit one time for all three names. And I was talking to DC last night at the Pace Awards because his mom, Connie Bookman, was getting an award last night. And her speech was fantastic. I will play it for you later in the morning. Really, genuinely fantastic. But I was talking to him beforehand, and he's like, we've had like 150 submissions already in the first like 3 hours that this was available to do. And of course, that means each one is three. So they've had like 500 names, you know, 450 to 500 names already submitted in the first day. Because people love to name stuff, and they love to be clever. He actually sent me two texts to give illustrations. You know, obviously, Sweepy McSweepface or whatever, that's going to be one of them. But he was telling me, people are super creative. Like, sweep dreams are made of this.
Oh, okay.
Or sweep child of mine.
These are great.
Yeah, and you know there's going to be a lot of that. No profanity, no innuendo, no fun, Dad. Fine, whatever. But, you know. Sweep Caroline. I mean, you know.
Oh, yes.
You know there's going to be all of that, okay?
Can you imagine?
Yeah, right.
That's the sweeper.
So we got just a couple of them on ours. Broomhilda is one we got on our Facebook page. That's... Oh, Broomhilda. Streety McSweep, Street Sweep, you know, of course. You know, so anyway, it's just if you want to share yours, there's a way to vote. It's a portal. You know, just go put in your answers or whatever.
Hey, and is there a reward?
I think the reward is getting to name the street sweeper.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's all there is. No, the answer is no. The other one, the other thing that they're doing, and this is a long time coming. This has actually been on my list to talk to DC about to see. Actually, for today, I was going to ask him anyway, and then it turns out they announced it yesterday.
Excited about that we're looking for community feedback on. First is the Pensacola welcome sign. We're hosting a design contest for artists for a 3D three-dimensional welcome sign that probably will be seen by 100,000 plus folks every day, which is coming off the Three Mile Bridge, where in years past, before the bridge construction, where that Five Flags Pavilion was.
So you remember how the Five Flags Welcome to Pensacola area got torn out because they were needing that area to do the rework of the entire intersection with the roundabout that, by the way, is now open, I guess. I guess for a little while that the on-ramp to Gulf Breeze was not available, although last night when I was coming back from the Pace Awards, the off-ramp to 17th Avenue, the roundabout, was not available. So I know they're still doing work, okay? And they're patrolling, especially at night, by the way. There were three Gulf Breeze police officers at the entrance to the bridge on the Gulf Breeze side. Timing. Three. I mean, they wanted to make a show of it, which is fine. You know, that's the whole point. Anyway, the redesign of that welcome center area, or not, it's not a center because it's not like a visitor center, but just the welcome signed monument, flags, whatever the case may be, that's something that they had said previously would be open up to the public. And yeah, sure enough.
Instead of just picking one or two designs and hoping that it's something that the community would embrace, we've taken the extra step, which is always has a little complexity to it. You know, obviously there's a lot that goes into a contest like this and a lot of thought and extra time. But we thought it was important, you know, that this is going to be this really will be our entryway from Gulf Breeze, from Highway 98. And a lot of folks will see it. So we wanted to make sure that we were able to pick something that was reflective of what our community wants. So.
Yeah, so he's gonna let the public, basically artist, design, submit. There's a package of parameters. You know, this is not quite as easy as you know, as putting a name on a street sweeper. But
how about Statue McStatueface?
But you know, so there's gonna be a submission, and Dalrymple Salas is handling it. And then you can send the submissions. You can find it at the city website or at their Facebook page. Submissions are due April 26th, and he's hoping for a May 1st announcement. And look. I can't guarantee, okay, but I can guarantee that there will be at least one submission that says, I know, Five Flags, welcome to Pensacola, right? Because people still believe in that and still like that idea and want that. And so, you know, I don't want to speak for the mayor. We're going to talk to him this morning at 7:35. I don't know whether even that would be considered a possibility or not, but... You know, we're under a new mayor, so who knows? You know, there is a sort of a, we already had a way to do this about that. I don't know. That's, you know, I think I don't know. I don't want to speak for him. I'll ask him at 7:35 whether that would be a feasible possibility. And I think what he's going to say is, hey, we'll consider everything that people submit. You know? So that's possible, but I guess I would tend to say that's not likely. Okay? But yeah, you can submit your designs and, you know, who knows what we might have there at the Welcome Air. Because it's, by the way, coming into Pensacola from the bridge is going to be, if everything comes to pass, and at this point, some of it is a little bit in the uncertain zone, but you're going to come seeing the flag and the Phantom and the Chappie James statue on the right, and you're going to see, eventually you're going to see the Monument to Women Veterans, the giant flame, sort of in the straight ahead on the right-hand side, and then you're going to see the Welcome to Pensacola, whatever that winds up being, on the left-hand side. So you got some really cool features that are going to, you know, grab your attention when you're coming into Pensacola across the bridge eventually. 521 here on, and again, I love the fact that they're putting it out. They're not just saying, you know, here's your two ideas, pick from them. PPB badges and patches.
You okay?
Just saying maybe the mayor learned a lesson from how the patch redesign was done, and the ideas that the cops loved the most were not even given to them in the final vote, and like having the Blue Angels in the patch and all of the other things. So I'm glad that he's doing it this way. This is the right way to do it. 522 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are in the market for that next vehicle, whether you're thinking new or used, look at Frontier Motors. Because here's one of the things that you might see, okay? You might see when you go to Frontier, you're going to see a car that's a year or two old with low miles and good condition, and you're going to see the price of that car. And then maybe you go see the cost of that same car or a similar car new. And then you can decide for yourself, well, is 15,000 miles worth that much money? Right? I mean, that's because that's the choice when you're buying a car that, you know, somebody else had for a little while or nobody else had for a little while. Your choice is, how much is that slight difference in use worth to you? And you can make an adult decision as you do. I'm just saying, for me, I believe in buying slightly used cars and driving them until they have to have 300,000 miles on them. You know, because that's what I did with my first Accord, 330, and my Civic's got 180 right now. I mean, that's just kind of how I handle cars. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm just saying that's how Dave Ramsey says to do it. That's how I say to do it. And you can certainly do that at Frontier, where they have great prices on good quality, slightly used vehicles. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Do you have heart failure and often hear,
those stomach issues ruined your birthday?
You're too tired to play catch, Grandpa.
Sweetie, you haven't touched your tools since the carpal tunnel syndrome diagnosis.
If these seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, talk to your cardiologist and ask about transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy, or ATTR-CM, a rare and underdiagnosed disease that gets worse over time. Learn more at connecttoyourheart.com. That's connecttoyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The Dell Technologies semi-annual sale starts now with limited quantity deals on select performance PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Save on select Vostro laptops with built-in security features and select Latitude laptops with enhanced privacy, collaboration, and connectivity. Save on select essential accessories plus free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Danger Powers Personal Effects.
Actually, my name is Austin Powers.
It says your name, Danger Powers.
No. Danger's my middle name.
Gotta at least let it get to that part, you know, and see how I restrained myself from throwing my terrible falsetto on top of Dexy, you know.
You're making fun of me.
No, no, I'm making fun of me. You have a nice voice. 526 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. That's Candy. In the newsroom, we have David Wayne with our headlines. David?
President Biden says there's a moral price to pay for inaction on guns. He was in North Carolina yesterday. He called Monday's shooting at the Nashville school senseless and urged Congress again to pass an assault weapons ban. In Nashville, they're having a citywide candlelight vigil tonight to honor the victims of that school shooting. Local leaders there are going to be gathering in one of their parks. Former crypto king Sam Bankman-Fried being accused now of bribing a Chinese government official with a $40 million payment in 2021. This is when he was the CEO of the FTX crypto exchange. The new indictment alleges that Bankman-Fried directed an employee to bribe the official after Chinese authorities froze several of his accounts that were worth more than $1 billion. He's already waiting trial after being hit with a list of charges because of the collapse of FTX.
If it came out during some kind of an investigation that Sam Bankman-Fried and George Santos were actually cousins, would that surprise you at all?
No, not at all. No.
I mean, like, it seems like the same kind of shady everything sort of folks, right? Like, you know, oh, yeah, no, I wasn't bribing no Chinese official. I wouldn't do nothing like that. How much was that again? You know, like, I mean, you know, if suddenly you had Sam Bankman-Fried was like, oh, man, he was actually a Peruvian drag star. You know, like, that wouldn't surprise you at this point, right? Just saying. 437, David, thanks so much for the
Peruvian
update.
Peruvian drag star.
And I don't mean the kind where they race cars.
Well,
for both, you know, whatever. 437-1620, 437-1620. Okay, so I'm trying to decide what I was going to do with this exactly, but I am going to play it for you. I gave a lot of comments yesterday about why I do and don't talk about events like the Nashville shooting, and I didn't see any value of showing you the pictures and the video of the assailant. All that is doing is glorifying that and giving people a reason to try to do like it. I will tell you who I'm going to celebrate, though. The cops who got on scene and went straight to the gunfire and in 2 minutes killed the murderer. And here's what it sounded like as they are hustling up the stairwell and through the building in order to find that person. Up the stairs, they're going around going through the hallway. They hear gunfire. You can hear it's getting louder because they're getting closer. This is, I think, when the person was shooting out the window at the arriving cops. Sees them around the corner. Moves around to the body. You go fast, you go hard, and you take them out. This is exactly what you train for. This is exactly why you train. And, God, these Nashville police officers are just absolute heroes. They did it exactly right. And we have all seen recently, where a whole bunch of police officers did not do it right. They are absolute heroes, and that is why you train, and that is what you train for.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A police officer is killed in Huntsville, Alabama.
This is one of those times when it's very hard to come up with words.
Mayor Tommy Battle and other officers in critical condition. They were responding to a call about shots fired at a home. They found a woman shot and were ambushed. A man was taken into custody after a standoff charged with capital murder. The woman's hospitalized. The Chinese government says it would be seen as a provocation if House Speaker Kevin McCarthy meets with Taiwan's president in Los Angeles next week.
China is sensitive to American leaders meeting with their Taiwanese counterparts because it believes Taiwan is part of China. The warning is reminiscent of China's response when then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visited Taipei and the communist nation staged war games around Taiwan.
Fox's Gary Baumgarten. People in Philadelphia are told drinking water will not be affected by a chemical spill upstream Friday. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 54 degrees, partly cloudy here in Pensacola. Escambia County deputies are still searching for a man accused of fatally shooting his cousin. Last weekend, 18-year-old Nathaniel Cunningham Jr. wanted on murder charges. Deputies say he's considered armed and dangerous. His relative, Tamika Thomas, hopes he'll turn himself in.
I don't want nobody in the streets to kill him. I don't want no other family members to kill him. We have to forgive and we have to let the law take its place.
And family members have identified the victim of that shooting last weekend as 32-year-old Angel Bailey, a mother of four. Family members say they believe Cunningham is laying low after the shooting. If you have any information on his location, you should contact Crime Stoppers or call the sheriff's office. A Fairhope man now charged in that shooting outside of a popular bar in Gulf Shores, Alabama earlier this week. 21-year-old Shamare Joel Bradley now facing attempted murder and other charges for allegedly shooting a man outside of the hangout Monday night. The victim was taken to the hospital where he was treated and released. Gulf Shores police do say that three other people face various charges related to the incident. Investigators believe it all started out as a fight between a group of both juveniles and adults outside of that bar. Well, there's a chance for local artists to have their work seen by thousands of people each and every day.
We're hosting a design contest for artists for a three-dimensional welcome sign that probably will be seen by 100,000-plus folks every day, which is coming off the Three Mile Bridge.
Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city's having a contest instead of just picking a design, even though it does add some complexity to their decision. If you'd like to submit a design, check out the city website. The info's on there. Designs have to be submitted by April 26th. The average start time for schools here across the state is 7:45 in the morning. There's a new bill gaining some steam in the Florida Senate that would push back school start times, though, for a lot of students.
What we're doing now is not what's best for students, and the science shows that, the research and the data show that. So how can we recognize that and improve upon how we are currently operating and make sure that we are getting the most maximum effectiveness for our students?
Bill sponsor Danny Burgess, he says his bill would prevent middle schools from starting the instructional day before 8 o'clock in the morning. High schools wouldn't be able to start until 8:30 at the earliest. The bill has two more committee stops before it could reach the full Senate. The full House will begin taking up their version of the bill on Thursday. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 First Warning Weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your First Warning Weather update. Cloudy day today with temperatures warming up near 70 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the low 50s. Sunshine returns on Thursday. Plenty of sunshine with a high near 73. Low near 63 degrees. For Friday, we will have partly cloudy skies with a high near 78, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 54, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, and 55 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Cap Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me!
Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Informative, local, dependable. It's cold this morning, by the way, in the mid-50s. But don't worry, it's going to be all the way up to 70. So it's going to be normal temperatures here. Not too, you know. Don't complain about the cold.
Know,
you
we'll
will soon be
nights.
Wishing you had it, right?
I
You'll
know,
soon
right?
be wishing you had it.
My legs are going to grow more hair. You can call Bobby Rossi.
Is that how that works?
Yeah, remember that time I was showing you that? Hey, Bobby.
She's like a human cricket. So yesterday we had a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as we typically do on a Tuesday. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good to have you. So let's start with, I just spent a long time explaining why I haven't spent a lot of time talking about the Nashville school shooting today, but I did want to start with this, if only for this reason. To me, the real key to this story is there was no SRO, there was no off-duty police officer, there was no armed guard at this school, something that you are an adamant supporter of having, right?
Right. You know, we've talked over the last couple of years about, you know, the guardians and how it's good to have an armed individual employee or a sheriff's deputy at the schools. And I've always been adamant that I believe the best course of action is to have an armed uniform, swarmed law enforcement officer at every school. That's every elementary, every middle, every high school. And I would even venture to say that private schools, mm-hmm. if you have a private school of over so many, you know, students, I think that part of, you know, being a school, you should have an adequate security plan. And to me, an adequate security plan is an armed law enforcement officer, sworn law enforcement officer. But I don't want to take away from the guardians. I mean, we have trained dozens of guardians, and they're doing a great job from what I understand. And we're glad to have them. I think that as a supplement, they can certainly be used. It can be a sworn deputy and a guardian, or it can be, because some schools we have two law
sure.
enforcement officers, middle and high schools. I just think that, you know, we can't afford to take chances with our children.
And that was you know, we had SROs. We've had SROs for a long time, but the requirement to have them was a byproduct of the Parkland Commission and Sheriff Galtieri, who was the chairman of that. And, you know, the idea that, I mean, this is something we can't afford to be optional about, right?
Yeah, there were recommendations. You know, Sheriff Galtieri was the chairman of that. And one of those recommendations, and it's right there in front of you, right, was to have sworn law or to have armed guards in some capacity at
right.
all the schools. And I don't know, maybe having sworn law enforcement officers was at the time a bridge too far for them. I just, you know, people ask me and I give them my opinion, because I think that the best option is to have a sworn law enforcement officer in the schools with radio contact with outside officers that might be responding. Now, I'm not saying that will stop everything. I mean, clearly we have to do some other things as well. I am curious, and I haven't heard yet, about if they've had any interactions with this particular
right.
suspect in the past, and to what degree there was some contact and maybe even some intervention.
Right. Was there any red flag elements to this case beforehand? And, of course, you know, it's not just schools, right? You know, when I go to the bank, when I go to the Walmart, when you go to the bars, you
yeah.
know, this places where there might be issues, that's why you have off-duty law enforcement all the time. Well, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk briefly about that. I know people kind of wanted to – I assume people want to hear your thoughts on that, which, you know, we know where you stand, and it's good to repeat that stance. We've had a couple of shootings here in Escambia County, some very concerning ones. One was on Buckingham Road, I guess, on like Thursday night into Friday. Somebody found somebody. Is that right?
Yeah, we have a body was discarded, actually, on that roadway, and we are working it as a suspicious death. We were asking if anyone has any information.
It was a shooting? They were shot?
It appears to be a shooting death, yes. And we do have some leads. Our investigators have been working on it since Friday. We feel pretty comfortable with where we are on it. But we always ask for more information. We're working that as a homicide.
But we don't have identification, age, anything that we're not putting out yet?
No, we're not willing to put anything out yet.
Okay, all right. And just again, you know, some people have been listening to you and me talk for years, and other people, this is the first time. The reason police don't always put out all the information is because that's a vital way of checking witnesses' statements and are they reliable, not reliable, right? And there's investigative value sometimes to withholding information.
Right, and typically we don't identify a victim in a crime. There's some rules, there's some back and forth, honestly, about whether you can identify the victim of a homicide. Typically we don't identify the homicide victim because the next of kin needs to be notified and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And so oftentimes the medical examiner gets involved in that. At this point, though, while we have some information, we're not ready to put that information out yet because there's leads that, like you said, we need to follow up on before word gets out, if you will. But then we had another one on Saturday that we're working, that we do have a suspect on, and we put that individual's name out, Nathaniel Cunningham Jr., 58140. It was a picture on our social media platform, picture of him on our Facebook page, and we ask if anyone knows or they think they know who he is. Maybe take a look at him and then tell us where he is if they have any.
What happened in that case?
Well, I've said all along that our homicides are because of two things. One is drug-related, and the other thing is domestic violence-related. This particular one was a fight over a cell phone between two cousins. One cousin ended up shooting to death the other cousin. And that's why we have the warrant on the one cousin. So we have pretty good information on it. We have the warrant, obviously, for a homicide on Mr. Cunningham. And again, it's just senseless. It's a senseless act.
Things escalate. People do stupid things, sometimes wicked things, you know. And it's...
Well, this is the second violent crime we've had over a cell phone. I think we had someone cut over a cell phone over the... not seriously injured, but... I know cell phones are expensive now, but we don't need to get carried away with the possessions like that.
You raise children. You know, with my boys, I have one line. It's my one repeated line. Leave the area. Just walk away, breathe, take a minute,
even
take a lap.
Think you're right.
Yes,
if you are
especially
right,
if you think, because everybody
wrong.
Thinks
yeah.
they're right. You know,
right.
You got some good stuff coming up. Well, actually, you just did the torch run yesterday, right?
Yeah, the torch run. Law enforcement torch run is where law enforcement officers from throughout the state will carry a torch, and the purpose of it is to raise money for the special needs, Special Olympics, and it works out very well. They started yesterday morning. I met them. I didn't run this time. I was busy. I had a meeting, so I couldn't do the run. But we ran from the sheriff's office to the police department. Then they ran downtown. And again, the purpose of it is to raise funds for Special Olympians. And if you've ever seen these Special Olympians, and you see the excitement on their face when they participate in anything.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have some there at the torch run. And then back in the day, we'd raise some money at like Red Lobster, I believe it was, and mm-hmm. we'd tip a cop, they called it. And we'd do the same thing, and we would have special needs children with us. And it was just a very memorable, rewarding experience for us. And again, we participated in it yesterday. I think Santa Rosa doing it today.
Cool thing you've got coming up. Is it this Friday?
Yeah,
you've got
a
movie night?
Yeah, you know, every year we have a couple of these movie nights. The Escambia Sheriff Foundation bought this big screen for us so we can take it to various neighborhoods and show a particular movie. This movie, Friday night, we're going to show the movie Wreck-It Ralph, and we're going to be at the Myrtle Grove Sports Complex. We try to get into different areas. We'll have one in the North End. We were in Century in December. Mm-hmm. We'll be in Beulah a little later on this year. Now we're on the West Side, what we call the West Side, over at the Myrtle Grove Sports Complex. That's back where they used to play football and baseball, and I think they're trying to ramp that back up. But it's, I think 61st, maybe the foot of 61st Street, south end of that. But we're going to going to be there. It starts about 5 o'clock. The movie will start probably at 6 o'clock, and we'll feed you. We got hamburgers, we have hot dogs, we have potato chips.
Way to bury the lead, man.
I know. I want to get them to watch the movie first, and oh, by the way, but bring your chair. We don't know what the weather's going to be like. We never know what the weather's going to be like, but we're going to be there, and it's just an enjoyable time. If you've not been to one of our movie nights, and you'd like to, obviously, you're free to do so. We're going to start posting all of the dates so you can know if you can't make this Friday, you can make it next couple
good
of
idea.
Weeks. It's just one of the best things that I think that we're able to do. And again, we couldn't do it if it weren't for the foundation to provide this thing. And then we have some kind people that want to give money, and it goes towards some of the food that we get. And otherwise, the food is paid for by seized funds. We seize funds from bad guys, and we turn it into food for good guys.
I thought you were going to say...
Shut up, we're using drug money for hot dogs?
I thought he was going to say seized meat. You know, like you get in there, and they've got some ribs in the freezer, and you know, we're going to cook those up for the kids.
Oh, does that ever happen?
There's not a great market for a hot hamburger patty.
The secondhand meat. Yeah.
To be fair, do you know that, or are you guessing?
Well, I'm word on the street. Is that there's not a lot of frozen hamburger patties to be.
So to be clear, street meat does not mean seized ribs and steaks from the drug dealers' houses.
Yeah, I'm not sure where you're going with that.
Sheriff Chip Simmons on their Facebook page has all the events. You can follow more there, and he always puts up with us real good. Sheriff, thanks so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
I love how he's, I'm not really sure where you're going with that.
He knew where I was going with that.
So
he's
funny.
A smart fellow, but.
Yeah, and I didn't mean like, you know, they were dealing in illicit meat.
I do think people do that.
Drug dealers have to eat too, right? So maybe if their freezer's stocked with all that, you know.
And you know it's stocked with like filet mignon.
Right, because, you know.
Like in the movies.
That's how they live it up. Right, yeah, obviously.
Probably keep that stuff. I'm just kidding. No, that's great. I know they do it with seized. Funds and yeah, that's so wonderful. They do this.
I do love
the
you know. Oh, and by the way, we're also feeding people. Oh, thanks for leading with the best part.
You're burying the lead.
And by the way, last night Sheriff Simmons won the Pace Award for. And the various categories are all a little bit fluid to me. Community leader for the Pensacola Area Chamber Excellence Awards.
Oh, that's great.
No, it's really good. Nicole Stacy, our good friend Nicole Stacy, won for Emerging Leader. Connie Bookman, who you know runs Pathways for Change. DC Reeves' mom won Advocate Leader. Kara Cardona, who is the Executive Vice President, Greater Pensacola, and Contact Center Operations for Navy Federal, right? She won for Business Leader. David Delman from Cox Communications won for Professional Leader. Kim Thomas, the principal at C.A. Weiss, won Leader in Education. Former Mayor and County Commissioner Grover Robinson won for the Spirit of Pensacola Award.
Oh, that's great.
And Belle Bear. Belle Bear won for Pioneer Award.
That's
wonderful. This is fantastic. It was a really great event. It really was. Oh, it always is. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about selling a home or thinking about buying a home, or you've got a friend who is. And I say that because... You know, Christina Leavenworth is obviously fantastic, and, you know, if you're getting ready to buy or sell or even wondering whether you should, you give her a call, you know, because you listen to the show, and how many times I've talked about her now, 200 homes last year and getting people, sale prices better than they expected and purchase prices lower than they expected because they work in both directions, and who else but a great sales agent would you want negotiating for you on a buy side, right? So it makes sense. But you might think, well, it doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm not changing homes anytime soon. I'm not buying any properties. I'm good. But maybe you have friends. Right? Maybe you have friends, and if you hear them talking about this, you can say, you know, hey, look, I don't know if you got a realtor yet, but, you know, Andrew McKay's always talking about Christina Leavenworth and should at least call her and find out. And so if you want your friends to make more money or save more money, right, then why wouldn't you give them good advice like, hey, this is a possibility? So if you know somebody who's, you know, maybe asking you or maybe just know that they need a good realtor, it's perfectly fine for you to recommend Christina Leavenworth to them. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Whether you're looking for the number one selling diesel lawnmower, utility vehicle, compact tractor, or compact excavator, Coastal Machinery has it all. There's a reason even their competitors use Kubota engines. It's the number one diesel engine under 100 horsepower in the world. Take advantage of 0% long-term financing and large Kubota incentives. Stop by the Kubota field event Friday from 10:30 to 12:30, talk with Kubota factory reps, and enjoy free lunch and door prizes. 6701 Mobile Highway, just north of the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade, afternoons at 11, before Dave Ramsey, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I just wanted to...
But Zazu, you told me they're nothing but slobbering, mangy, stupid poachers.
Ixnay on the Oopid's Day.
What are you calling Oopid's Day?
Now, you know that's a good cut when even you know it, right? When even
well,
you know
it.
Sound
like cartoony voices.
You calling me?
550, because Candy doesn't know any of the cartoons, any
because
of the
I
Disney.
Because I never had children. And
also,
so
I hear she
not...
doesn't like kids. Is that true? You don't? I know.
I always try to buy people's kids. Can I have your children? I love children. I didn't think I'd be a good mom until now. And now I can't have
you would be a good mom.
Thanks, God.
You'd be a super fun mom.
Oh, I think I would be a super
you absolutely
fun mom.
Would be.
Yeah.
Loving,
I'm a super
loving
fun aunt.
Loyal, entertaining. That's
I'm everybody's
right.
work mom.
That's right.
David's my work son.
David Wayne, speaking of which, is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Hi, baby.
Well, good morning, guys. An Alabama police officer is dead and another remains hospitalized in critical condition after they were shot Tuesday. It happened at an apartment complex in Huntsville. Deputies were responding to a shots fired call there. A citizen was also shot. Authorities there say an offender was initially barricaded in an apartment, but has since been apprehended. Philadelphia's water system will not be impacted by a recent chemical spill in the Delaware River. Mayor Jim Kenney there made that announcement earlier this week. He said sampling has not detected any substances from last week's chemical spill. And Adnan Syed's murder conviction being reinstated 6 months after he was freed. Syed, whose case was made famous by the podcast Serial, was released in October from prison after an attorney said DNA evidence supported his innocence. The decision is a procedural issue and doesn't necessarily mean Syed is going to be sent back to prison.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. It's 553 News Radio 92.3. What else do we have? Oh, this, you'll have to pardon me. Give me a little bit of indulgence on this one, but there's a news story here that will only make sense to you to a degree if you understand New Jersey and Oregon, because New Jersey and Oregon are the only two states in the nation where it's illegal to pump your own gas. And I know for a lot of people, they're like, no, that can't be true. No, that's absolutely true. In New Jersey and in Oregon, I lived in Oregon for 2 years, you have to wait for the attendant to come pump your gas. It's mandatory service. Like, remember how, like, way back in the day, if you're old enough, you might remember that there was a choice between pumping your own or getting full service is what they called it. And then in the era of credit cards, I mean, all the service stations, like the attendant service, that just completely went away because there was literally no point whatsoever. All you had to do was get out of your car, put the card in, pump the gas. Easy. You know, at least when there was like cash and they'd have to go run to the register or something like that, there was a little bit of inconvenience. But of course, you know, for years and years and years, we've all been pumping our own gas. Unless you live in New Jersey or Oregon, where it's illegal. Now, in I can't speak for New Jersey, but having lived in the People's Republic of Oregon, which is what local people call it, because it's a very leftist place, it was done specifically for job protectionism. The purpose was, we want to make sure there's low-wage jobs for low-skilled people to be able to pump gas. Of course, the problem is, and this shouldn't come as any big surprise to you, but what does the gas station do that's required to hire a person at minimum wage to tend the gas pumps? Well, you get 10 gas pumps in one person. And what do you think is the byproduct of that?
That it's super slow.
It's the only place in the country other than New Jersey where you wait in line to get gas, typically 2 to 3 cars deep, like it's the 70s again. It's like it's the oil embargo all over again, all the time in Oregon. I know because I live there. And you seriously, like, you know, how long does it take you to get a full tank of gas these days? It takes you to pull in and run the thing and be done. It's a couple minutes, right? It's always 15 to 20 minutes in Oregon. And if you're new to the area, you don't know, and you go to pump your gas, they lose their minds. Because it's a law. Like, it's a $5,000 fine for the station. I think it's a $500 fine for you. I mean, it's really bad. Okay, so the backdrop to this is that you are forced to get a benefit that makes your life way worse in order to create fake jobs for people to badly perform a service that everybody can much more easily take care of for themselves. Follow? That's the current state of affairs in Oregon. The reason I mention all this to you is because they've filed a bill now to actually get rid of this finally, at long last. This is a horrible, stupid idea. And it's going to pass because it already passed overwhelmingly in at least one chamber. So they're going to get rid of it. And the interesting thing is, like, kind of the why, because you would think they're getting rid of it because somebody finally realized, oh, my God, this is terrible. No, it's it had to do with, like, in COVID. Like, the problem was in COVID, you know, dealing with all of this stuff. And workers right now, the problem is that the gas stations can't find workers because nobody wants to work. So they literally will have the gas station shut down or half of the pumps off because they can't find somebody to pay minimum wage to run around
that
and take care of.
That makes sense. I mean, I can't imagine they're going to find cashiers. Like, right. That's hard to find. You know, I can't even imagine.
So from a purely practical, logistical point of view, because of the labor force disruptions that came about as a result of COVID. And by the way, during COVID, they had allowed an exception for this, apparently, because, you know, otherwise you were going face to face with clients and you were, you know, like the idea was back then. So finally, Oregon is going to be liberated from this one little socialist element that they have there. And again, as a former resident, I celebrate for them to finally figure this out. 437-1620. Oh, This has got to be one of my favorite, like, dumb stories of the day. Did you hear the one about, and now it's not Chicago County, it's Chisago, I'm not sure how you say it, it's in Minnesota, it's Chicago with an S, and when you first read the story, you're like, Chicago? There's no Chicago County, that's Cook County. Anyway, but Chisago, I guess, I'm assuming is how you say it, Minnesota, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a guy who got pulled over by the Chisago County Sheriff's Office. And he was pulled over Friday night, and when he was asked for his driver's license, he handed his driver's license over along with the proclamation that had been given to him by the official government agency that he was going to get a free pass. He gave the get out of jail free card from Monopoly, the chance card.
No. Did it work?
It did not work.
Oh.
Interestingly enough, it did not work.
Well, that's a Vikings fan.
Yeah. So he really tried that. And in the Facebook post about this, the Chisago or Chisago, I don't know, County Sheriff's Office says, last night a deputy did a traffic stop and the driver handed him this card along with his driver's license. Unfortunately, the state of Minnesota does not recognize this as a valid document. Points for the effort and the humor, though. How long do you think he was driving around with that? Because you got to plan ahead.
You do.
You can't. This is not like some. I mean, he didn't reach in the back and open up the Monopoly box and get out of jail free card, right? He had it in his wallet.
Some people have it in their wallet. I've seen people keep it in their wallet, but I've never ever heard of anybody actually giving it to a police officer when pulled over.
Questions, right? Was he drunk? Was he making the cop laugh? Like, you know, it seems like I want to know more about this story. Because what I'm hoping is he knew it was funny. And I would also kind of, I think it's a strategy. What you're hoping is if the cop's got a real good sense of humor, maybe he lets me go.
Sounds like because, he didn't since everybody knows about it.
No, it doesn't sound like this particular strategy worked and, you know, did not pass go and certainly did not get $200. We'll be back.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.